The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show, the first half hour presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, and starring the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. For the next hour and 30 minutes, you will be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. Such bright stars as
Fred Allen, Peter Donald, Bill Goggin,
Portland Hawks, Helen O'Connell,
Frank Sinatra,
Meredith Wilson,
and my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead. Tomorrow we celebrate a double holiday. Not only is it St. Patrick's Day, but the government is letting us pay our income taxes tomorrow. Isn't that sweet? And it's only fitting that these two holidays should come out on the same day, because this is the day St. Patrick drove the tax collectors, the snakes, out of Ireland. And with all the money being paid out in taxes, the only wearing of the green tomorrow will be done by the tax collectors. Tomorrow, New York will be known as the Naked City. But I'm going to test this motley group of leprechauns who make up our cast this week. I'm going to give them each 1 minute to come up with a St. Patrick's Day greeting. On your toes, sweetie, get going. But first, let's open the door to the age of aluminum. Reynolds Aluminum, of course. Sorry, Doris.
Well, Miss Bankhead, doors are a good symbol of the modern metal. Massive doors, big buildings, are made of Reynolds Aluminum. Smart storefronts are all glass and aluminum, including the doors. Combination storm doors and screens are, of course, aluminum. And what you might call the door to the modern farm is also Reynolds Aluminum, the farm gate. The aluminum farm gate is strong and yet so light it will not sag. It is rust-proof, so it always looks clean and new without any painting. Not expensive either, since aluminum is the only basic metal that costs less now than before World War II. Walk through this gate, and when you see the bright expanse of aluminum farm buildings all around, you'll know it is a proper symbol. Another kind of door opening wide upon the age of aluminum. Reynolds Aluminum.
Well, darlings, how about those St. Patrick's Day greetings? You've had plenty of time. Some of the most important speeches were written quickly. Now, I remember when I was on a train once, a man borrowed an envelope from me and scribbled on it for a few moments, and that turned out to be the Gettysburg Address. What am I saying? All right, let's hear from... how about you, Bill Goggin?
Dear Tallulah, I'd like to give you some advice on this St. Patrick's Day. If you lay off the Irish stuff, the snakes will go away.
It says snakes. Well, I have a feeling I'm going to be sorry about this whole idea. Well, I should stop here, but let's press on. How about you, Meredith? You're a pretty safe bet. What did you write?
I think Tallulah must be Irish, because when there's a fight, she's in it. And when there's not a fight around, she's always there to begin it.
That is not true. I am the most pleasant, divine, sweet-tempered, gentle, gracious creature on this stage. And anybody who says I'm not will get a punch right in the eye. Well, let's try one of the girls. How about you, Helen O'Connell? And remember, darling, you can be easily replaced by a jukebox.
To Tallulah. The Irish have some lovely songs they sing to celebrate. But don't you sing them, because they'll sound like something you just ate.
Well, Helen, all I can say to you is, I won't be seen. Well, there must be a somebody here who'll have a pleasant thought for me for St. Patrick's Day. I know. Fred Allen will come through for me, I'm sure.
I brought you a gift, a solid gold ring.
I knew my darling Fred would come through. Go ahead, sweetie. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Just when my muse was aroused and hard at it, too. I brought you a gift, a 1-carat gold ring. It cost $1.15. If it's on your finger St. Patrick's Day, you'll be wearing off the green.
Well, he sure has a lot of brass. Well, now, how about you, Portland Hopper? May I hope you'll be the better half?
Well, mine is called St. Patrick's Day Greetings on Income Tax Day.
Blues. Go ahead, darling.
Paying taxes doesn't bother the Irish. You won't find them a-troubling. They'll never run out of capital, because Ireland's capital's always Dublin.
Oh, that's awfully good.
You like this, Tallulah?
Yes, he bought me a ring, and I'll be wearing him the green. Very funny. Well, now, there's Peter Donald over there. How about you, Peter?
You must be part Irish, Tallulah, though your name is not O'Rourke. Though you've never been to counties Kerry or Limerick, I'm sure you're familiar with Cork.
Well, this has turned out to be a bottle of wit. Well, I guess that takes care of everybody. Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. What's that shadow over there behind the microphone? Oh, of course, Frank or Sinatra.
I was going to invite you to a St. Patty dinner, but after taxes, I've run out of moolah. I cannot afford corned beef and cabbage. You'll have to settle for pasta fasula.
Oh, that's Frankie. He's a fine broth of a something Pison. Pison, thank you, dear. Well, not to be outdone, I took advantage of that minute and wrote one myself. How's it? The Irish have a stone they kiss, known from Dublin to Killarney. If I were only that stone, my dear, they'd be calling all men to Blarney. And the first man I would call would be the voice himself. Frankie, my boy, how about breaking this up with a song? I'm just dying to hear you sing Axel Stoller's arrangement of I Hear a Rhapsody. Meredith, support this boy, if you please.
When you're near the murmuring of the breeze becomes a symphony. I don't hear a call at all. I hear a rhapsody. And when your sparkling eyes are smiling at me, then soft through a starlit sky I hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue when you're my heart longs for you. My darling, hold me tight and whisper to me. Then soft through a starry night, I'll hear a rhapsody. My days are so blue. For you, so won't you stay? whisper to me. Then soft through a starry night, I'll hear a rhapsody.
Come, Frankie, you're divine, darling. Now, wait, don't go away, Frankie. I want to talk with you. That is, if you feel strong enough to stand there for a couple of minutes.
Of course I can. I'm one of the few people who can stand for Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, that's a nasty thing to say to somebody who's been a fan of yours so many years.
No, no, no. I didn't mean it that the way it sounded, Tallulah. I've been an admirer of yours right from the very first time I saw you.
Uh-huh.
I shall never forget that time when I went to the theater to see your play and I cried like a baby.
Oh, why, darling?
I was a baby. Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, I was just starting on my first set of teeth.
Well, keep that up and you'll be starting on a new set.
I keep getting in deeper, don't I? I keep making you sound like an old timer. When the truth is that you're very young, Tallulah. You're younger than 100 actresses that I could name.
Yeah.
Gee, almost anybody I'd name. Holy Moses, it's...
That's one. Who else?
No, dear. I mean, like Helen Hayes, Katharine Hepburn, Sadie Banks, Catherine Cornell, several of the girls.
Isn't he sweet? You mean I'm younger than they are, darling?
Oh, yes.
I know I am, of course, but press on.
Of course you are. As a matter of fact, you've been younger longer than they have, too.
Now, that's what I love about you, Frankie. You're so charming. Hey, no, that's not the word. You're so gallant. No, that's not it either. You're more of a doll. No, that's not the word. A louse, that's the word.
You're absolutely right, Tallulah. I hang my head in shame. That's what I am, but it's only because what I'm saying isn't coming out the way I mean it. I don't mean to insult you, and just to show you how sorry I am, I'd like to take you to dinner tonight.
Well, that's more like it. Thank you, darling.
Just a little, sweet, intimate dinner.
Uh-huh, Frank, you're sweet.
Just you and me and my wife.
Well, that's the most insulting thing any man ever said to me.
What did I say now?
I was thinking you only wanted to take me to that intimate little dinner you were planning.
Tallulah, when a man has butter at home in his icebox, he doesn't go around looking for margarine.
Well, look here, honey. What I'm offering can't be found in any grocery store.
What does she mean?
You know. And while you're thinking of an answer to that, I'd like to ask, are you superstitious? How often do you touch wood? And I asked Corley, how often do you touch aluminum? The lucky metal, Reynolds aluminum... Of course.
Well, Miss Bankhead, we made a little test on that subject, and we found that in just 2 minutes of ordinary kitchen operations, the average housewife touches an amazing number of aluminum articles, not even counting pots and pans. Of course, that's likely to mean Reynolds aluminum, since the Reynolds Metals Company is one of America's great producers. This test started with the lady putting away foods packaged in Reynolds aluminum foil, bright cartons on the pantry shelf, maybe a precious roll of Reynolds Wrap, the original and genuine, the pure aluminum foil for kitchen use, though that's hard to find now with today's great military demand for aluminum. Now, in her refrigerator, salad greens go into the Reynolds aluminum crisper, frozen foods in the all-aluminum freezer compartment. Butter or margarine packaged in Reynolds aluminum foil go into the aluminum butter keeper. Even the refrigerator shelves are aluminum. As the lady looked at the clock at the end of 2 minutes, she had touched aluminum more than 25 times, not counting the clock itself with its many parts of aluminum. Reynolds aluminum.
It has just a suspenseful angle and a macabre twist to tingle your nerves. It has, too, as the star lead, the distinguished actor, Mr. William Gargan, Who's exciting new series, Barry Craig Confidential Investigator, opens on NBC Radio next Tuesday night. But now Mr. Gargan in the role of Dr. Rankin brings us John Collier's story, Demorteus. Dr. Rankin was a large and raw-boned man, under whom the newest suit had once appeared outdated, like a suit in a photograph of 20 years ago. He had those huge and clumsy hands, which can be an asset to a doctor in a small upstate town where people still retain a rural relish for paradox, thinking that the more ape-like the paw, the more precise it can be in the delicate business of tonsillectomy. This conclusion is perfectly justified in the case of Dr. Rankin. For example, on this particular fine morning, though his task was nothing more ticklish than the cementing over of a large patch on his cellar floor, he managed those large and clumsy hands with all the unflurried certainty of one who would never leave a sponge with N or create an unsightly scar without.
Hey, Doc. Hey, anybody home?
Hey, Doc, the fish are biting. Let's go.
Guess he's out.
Okay, we'll leave a note. Say we're down at the creek and to come on down.
Well, we could tell Irene, but she's not here either. You'd think she'd be around.
Yeah, you said it, bud. Just look at this table where you could write your name in the dust.
But look, he must be down the cellar.
Okay.
What? Doc, there you are.
Didn't you hear us yelling?
I thought I heard someone up there.
Well, we was bawling our heads off. Thought there was nobody home. Where's Irene?
Visiting. She's gone visiting.
Hey, what goes on here? What are you doing, Doc? Burying one of your patients or what?
Oh, there's been water seeping up through the floor. I figured it might be some spring opened up or something.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, Doc, I sold you this property. Don't say I fixed you up with a dump where there's an underground spring.
Well, there was water. That's all I know, bud.
Yeah, but, Doc, you can look on that geological map the Kiwanis Club got up. There's no better section of subsoil in the town.
It looks like Bud sold you a lemon, Doc.
No. Look, when the Doc came to this town, he was green. You'll admit he was green.
The things he didn't know.
Yeah, he bought Ted Weber's jalopy.
Yeah, he'd have bought the Jessup place if I'd let him, but I wouldn't give him a bum steer.
Okay. I was green. I admit it.
Listen to him. Just a poor, simple city slicker from Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, some people would have taken him. Maybe some people did, but not me. No, I recommended this property. He and Irene moved straight in as soon as they were married. Now, I wouldn't have put Doc onto a dump where there'd be a spring under the foundation.
Oh, forget it. I guess it was just the heavy rain.
My gosh, look at that pickaxe. It certainly went deep enough, right down into the clay.
Huh? Yeah, that's 4 feet down, the clay.
18 inches.
Oh, 4 feet, I can show you on the map.
All right, no arguments, boys. Hey, what do you say we get out of the creek, Doc? They're biting.
Oh, I can't do it, boys. I've got to see a patient or two.
Oh, live and let live, Doc. Give them a chance to get better. Are you going to depopulate the whole darn town?
Oh, I got to make my rounds, boys. Sorry, the fish will have to wait.
Well, I guess we'll have to take no for an answer.
Yeah, we better be getting along.
How's Irene, Doc?
Oh, never better. She's gone visiting. Albany. Got the 11 o'clock train.
11 o'clock? For Albany?
Oh, did I say Albany? Watertown, I meant.
Oh, friends in Watertown?
Yeah, Mrs. Slater. Mr. and Mrs. Slater. Lived next door to them when she was a kid, Irene said. Over on Sycamore Street.
Slater?
Yeah.
Next door to Irene?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, yes, yes. She was telling me all about them last night. She got a letter. Seems this Mrs. Slater looked after her when her mother was in the hospital one time.
Nope.
Well, that's what she told me. Of course, it was a good many years ago.
Look, Doc, Bud and I were raised in this town. We've known Irene's folks all our lives. We were in and out of their house all the time. There was never anybody next door called Slater.
Well, perhaps she married again, this woman. Perhaps it was a different name. Oh, do you mind moving your feet? I'd better smooth out this rough place in the cement.
No, Doc. It wasn't a different name.
What time did Irene go to the station, Doc?
Oh, about a quarter of an hour ago.
You didn't drive her?
No, she walked.
We came down Main Street. We didn't meet her.
Well, maybe she walked across the pasture.
Oh, that's a tough walk with a suitcase.
Oh, she just had a couple of things in a little bag.
I don't get it, Doc. Bud.
Yeah. Holy smoke.
Oh, gosh, Doc. A guy like you.
What in the name of heaven are you two bloody fools thinking? What are you trying to say?
A spring. I ought to have known right away it wasn't any spring.
Am I crazy or are you? You suggest that I... that Irene, my wife? Oh, go on. Get out of here. Yeah, go and get the sheriff. Tell him to come here and start digging. You, come on, get out, both of you.
I don't know, Buck.
It isn't as if he didn't have the provocation.
Lord knows. You know and I know. The whole town knows, but try telling it to a jury.
What is it? Now what are you trying to say? What do you mean?
If this isn't being on the spot.
Well, Doc, you can see how it is. It takes some thinking.
And we've been friends right from the start. Darn good friends.
But we got to think, Doc. This is serious. Provocation or not, there's a law in the land. There's such a thing as being an accomplice.
You were talking about provocation.
You're right, Doc. And you're our friend. And if ever it could be called justified...
Justified?
You were bound to get wised up sooner or later.
Yeah, we could have told you, but what the heck?
Yes, we could. And we nearly did 5 years ago. Well, you hadn't been here for 6 months. Well, we sort of cottoned to you. Sort of giving you a hint. You spoke about it, remember, Buck?
Yeah, I remember. A decent, straightforward guy comes to a place like this and marries the town flirt. And nobody tells him. Everybody just watches.
That's funny. I came right out in the open about that Jessup property. I wouldn't let you buy that, but... getting married, that's something else again.
Well, I'm 50. I suppose I am pretty old for Irene. And I know a lot of people think she's not exactly a perfect wife. Maybe she's not. She's young. Full of life.
Oh, skip it, Doc. Skip it.
No. I'm sort of a dry fellow. Kind of dull. But she's not much of a housekeeper.
No, she ain't.
And she's not very deep mentally. I don't care. She's lazy. No system. Well, I've got plenty of system. She's childish. That's it. Like a child. But even so, she would behave like that.
Uh-huh. Well, Doc, the town will be on your side.
Yeah, but that won't mean much when the trial comes up in the county seat.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I've been so upset, so mixed up. What'll I do, boys? What'll I do?
It's up to you, Bud. I can't turn him in.
Well, take it easy, Doc. Calm down. Look, Buck, when we came in here, the street was empty, wasn't it?
I guess so. Anyway, nobody saw us come down in the cellar.
And we haven't been down. You get that, Doc? We shouted upstairs, hung around a minute or two, and then cleared out. But we never came down into this cellar.
I wish you hadn't.
All you have to do is say Irene went out for a walk and never came back. Buck and I can swear we saw her headed out of town with a fella in a tan coupe. We'll fix it. We better scram.
And remember, Doc, we were never down here. So long.
We're for you, Doc. So long now.
I'm back.
I'm down here, Irene.
Oh, God. There you are, honey pie. Can you beat it? I missed the darn train.
Oh? Did you come back across the field?
Yeah, like a dope. I could have hitched a ride and caught the train up the line, only I didn't think. If you'd run me over to the junction, Doc, I could still make it.
Maybe. Did you meet anyone coming back?
Not a soul. Aren't you finished with that old cement job yet?
No. I'm afraid I'll have to take it all up again. Come over here, my dear, now. I'll show you.
Doc?
Bill Goggin, and thanks also to your fine supporting cast, Martin Blaine, Vinton Hayworth, and Jan Minor. I want to talk to you, Bill, and, oh, look, here's Bert Cowan for the Reynolds Metals Company handing me a bouquet of flowers, my darling. You're very sweet, thank you.
That bouquet, Miss Bankhead, is a little reminder that the flower show opens today in New York. And, of course, you'll note that the stems are wrapped in Reynolds aluminum foil. Ever notice that most bouquets and corsages are made up this way? Because aluminum foil is bright and pretty, it clings tightly when you press it in place. And, of course, it is moisture-proof. Helps keep flowers fresh, just as you keep foods fresh at home with Reynolds Wrap, the original and genuine, the pure aluminum foil in handy kitchen rolls. Reynolds Wrap is hard to find on store shelves today because military demand for aluminum is so great. But capacity is expanding throughout the industry that Reynolds made competitive. Remember, competition pushes production up and price down. Count on more from the Reynolds Metals Company, pioneers of progress through aluminum.
Wilson and the Oxen Chorus playing the gay French import, Le Violon s'amuse. Before we go to Act Two, I'd like to take just a moment to ring my chimes. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Well, darlings, I must tell you about a whole new way of life that opened up to me last week. I went down to take my final test for my driver's license. Last Thursday, I gathered up some friends who wanted to see me make my debut. And down to the inspector's office we went. Well, my dear, his first question almost cost me my driver's license. The question was, where is your car? Well, I was aghast. And I told him, my car. I thought this was just a run-through. I didn't know we were going to use props. Oh, we must have the car. Well, can't we use yours? Oh, come now, darling. You can make an exception in my case. I'll take very good care of it. Ah, you're sweet. Oh, is this your car? Oh, lovely. Now, I'd like to have my friends sit in the back seat so they can watch me. Climb to the back seat, darlings. Just climb in, darling. Oh, excuse me, Inspector. May I present Miss Rose Scott Riley and her brother, Theodore Jones, Miss Butch Jordan, Mr. and Mrs. Oglesby, Mr. Louis Venuti, Mr. Philip Hall, Miss Carol Lesko, Miss Louise Fitzgerald, Mr. Philip Young, and Mr. and Mrs. Ray Pinto, and this is their little boy, Stuart, Miss Ada Hedwig Schmidt, Mr. Edmund Bayliss and his Boston Bull. Spider is his name. Why not? Oh, regulations. Can't take a test with anybody in the car. Well, if you say so, Inspector. But I'm only at my best with an audience, you know. Oh, all right, darlings, I'm sorry. You just all sit here on the curb and wave at me as I come by. Now, don't be angry if I don't wave back, because I won't be wearing my glasses, and you know I can't see a thing without them. Ready, Inspector? Oh, it's a pole. Well, where are you, Inspector? Oh, there you are on the car. All right, here we are. Oh, start the car? Very well. Now, let me see. I've never started from a standing start before. Well, you know, usually someone else is driving and we just change seats. Oh, that's the key, of course. There we are. And away we go. Well, why aren't we away? Inspector? Darling, do you have to have both feet in the car? Something is dragging. Oh, the brake, of course. Well, I'll just release it. Oh, dear. Well, darling, if you're going to sit there with your head in the glove compartment... Well, that's better. Well, now I'll just drive up the street, right? Oh, yes, I know all about the lanes. Well, the white line is in the middle of the street, of course, I know that. And we go on this side of it, and cars going the other way go on the other side of it. And the white line itself is for bicycles. Look, darling Inspector, you're not paying any attention to me. You keep looking in back. Oh, we're in reverse? Well, I'll fix that. I'll just release... Now, there you are in that glove compartment again. Inspector, if you keep on... What? Stop here? But we just started. The lights? Of course I know what the red and green lights are for. Christmas! Do I go now? Oh, thank you. There we are. I did that very well, didn't I? Oh, now look at that ridiculous man. Doesn't he know enough to walk on the sidewalk? Oh, we're on the sidewalk. Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Now, there we are. Now turn this way. I see, left. Uh-huh. Oh, of course. Oh, first put my hand out. All right, how's it? Well, why didn't you tell me the window was closed? You know I can't see without my glasses. What do you mean I'll have to wear glasses when I drive my car? I will have you know I won't have to wear glasses. I have a prescription windshield. Up this hill. Up this hill here. Very well. No, you don't have to show me. I know how to shift gears. Ever since I was a little girl, I've been shifting for myself. What, park here? How dare you? We've only just met. No wonder you've been telling me to keep my eyes on the road. From now on, I'm keeping them on you. Don't tell me we're coming to an overhead. I know what to do when we... Well, the top came down. I didn't know this was a convertible. It isn't? Well, it is now, Buster. Thank you, darling. If you're wondering whether I got my license, I did. The inspector gave me his. He doesn't need a license. He doesn't have a car anymore.
Tallulah, Lula?
Yes, Kay, darling.
Didn't I see you in a taxi on Fifth Avenue the other day?
Taxi? No, darling. I was in my car on Fifth Avenue the other day.
Yes, but your car was in a taxi, wasn't it?
Oh, did you see that, Kay? Wasn't that the most ridiculous thing? There I was, my darling, driving along Fifth Avenue, window shopping, when suddenly this stupid taxi driver ran right into me.
Well, where was he going?
Well, that's just it. He wasn't going any place. He was parked there.
Well, how could he ram into you if he was just parked there?
Well, a very good question, Kay. And you should have seen him trying to explain that in court the next day. I'll tell you all about it in a minute, but now here is something else of interest to you.
For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out, and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So, for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. Court is now in session. Judge Meredith Wilson presiding. Oh, yes.
Just a moment.
Oh.
Bailiff Merrill, what are you doing?
I don't know, Judge Wilson. I heard somebody say it on television last night in an old movie.
All right, well, just cut it out. Now, let's get to the first case. Who is it?
It's Phil Foster versus Tallulah Bankhead.
Just a minute, darling. I will not go on with this case unless I get top billing. You'll have to make that Tallulah Bankhead versus Phil Foster. I simply insist upon it.
Get her. Her name should be first. I got news for you. When I get through with you, you'll wind up with a number.
Order. Order in this courtroom. Who are you?
I'm the taxi driver. Your Honor, I'm sitting there in my hack of Fifth Avenue. It's a windy day, and I'm sitting and I'm watching the scenery walk by. When suddenly a fare gets into my cab. So I say, where do you want to go? And she says, the Bronx. The Bronx? I just come from the Bronx. Besides, I look at the fare, and she's a dame. That figures a nickel tip. That only if she didn't leave her pocketbook in another cab. So I'm saying to her, look, lady, I got news for you. I don't think this cab will make it to the Bronx. Take another cab. She don't want. All of a sudden, she's in love with me. She's in love with my cab. So finally, I say to her, look, lady, I'll take you partway to the Bronx, and you can take another cab. I'll take you to 50th Street. Fair enough?
Where were you parked at the time?
49th Street. Finally, compromise. I'm going to take her to the border. And she's going to get another cab to take her to the interior. Fair enough?
All right. Well, get to the accident.
Get to it? I got news for you. It came to me. I'm just pulling away from the curb when I see this car coming down the street. Now, being a taxi driver, that don't bother me. But sideways? Well, the next thing I know, I got two fares in my hack, and one of them is in a car.
All right, all right. That'll be enough out of you. Now, who was the passenger in the cab?
I was, Your Majesty.
Majesty?
Well, isn't this the magistrate's court?
What is your name, madam?
Molly Goldberg, alias Mrs. Jacob Goldberg.
You were the fare in the taxi?
Yes, I was the truly fare. You see, I was downtown shopping, and I had to go to a meeting of our Wednesday afternoon club in the Bronx.
But this accident happened on Thursday.
Yes, that's when my Wednesday afternoon club meets on Thursday.
On Thursday?
No, I see what you mean, because we call it the Wednesday afternoon club, and we meet on Thursday. Well, to an outsider, this could be confusing. But when we first started the Wednesday afternoon club, we used to meet on Friday, and when some of the girls couldn't come Friday, we changed it to Tuesday, and now it's always Thursday.
What happened to Monday?
Monday? Who's got time for clubs on Monday with all the washing I have to do? Could I have clubs on Monday after all?
Madam, you are confusing the court. Will you sit down, please?
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, Judge, if you'll take a word of advice from me, you know that dress you're wearing is a little loose for you. So if you would go down to my Jake's factory, it'll be his pleasure if you go down and take a fit.
Order in this courtroom. Now, who is the arresting officer in this case?
Sure and Begorra. I am, Your Honor.
And what's your name, officer?
Victor O'Borg.
Well, where were you when this accident happened?
Well, sure and Begorra. I was about a half a block away, helping a Girl Scout across the street.
Good work, officer.
It wasn't easy. She didn't want to go across the street. Well, when I get across the street, I'm just standing around. It is very quiet. It's the usual normal day in the life of a New York policeman. Three women hit me over the head with their pocketbooks. They're all friends of the mayor. And suddenly I see this car overhead. So I started writing out a ticket. She was flying on the wrong side of the street. She makes a 3-point landing right on this poor fellow's taxi. Sure and Begorra.
Thank you, officer. Now, are there any other witnesses?
I'll be a witness.
A witness for which side? Plaintiff or defendant?
Do I get me choice?
No, you got to be for one side or the other. Now, what's your name?
Allow me to introduce myself. E. Archie Gardner. Scheister.
Oh, a lawyer.
No, just a Scheister.
Where were you when this accident took place?
Well, I was in Saks, picking up a few things. When I see this cop running by the store, so I drop everything and I start to run too. And all of a sudden I say to myself, if he's chasing me, why is he in front of me? So I decide to follow him and I see this accident.
Now, Archie.
Yeah?
Think carefully before you answer this next question, because this whole case depends on your testimony.
Uh-huh.
Whose fault was it?
Well, I think I can say without fear of successful corroboration that it was the dame's fault.
Very well, that settles it. Thank you, Archie.
Okay, be seeing you, Judge.
I'm sure you will.
Well, so long, Phil. Say hello to Mama.
Hey, Art, Mama wants to know if you're coming home to dinner tonight.
Well, certainly. And how about that no-good brother of ours, the black sheep? Is he coming?
Sure and Begorra. Tell Mama I'll be there.
Just a minute, Your Honor. I object. This is the most flagrant example of collusion and conspiracy I've ever seen in any court. There has been a complete miscarriage of justice here. The testimony offered by two brothers to protect their third brother. I submit that the case is a fraud and should be thrown out of court in line with the principles of fair play.
You are absolutely right, madam. And I find you three brothers, I find you in contempt of this court. And I declare this woman to be innocent of all charges. Case dismissed.
Oh, thank you, Uncle Meredith. Now tell Aunt Irene I'll be there for dinner tonight.
If the recent Federal Trade Commission decision has made you wonder about the contents of your cigarette, You can be glad if you are smoking Chesterfield.
Chesterfield gives you scientific facts and names its ingredients. Chesterfield uses tobaccos pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities and kept tasty and fresh by the only tried and tested hygroscopic or moistening agents, proven by over 40 years of continuous use in USA tobacco products as entirely safe for use in the mouth. Pure natural sugars and chemically pure, harmless, far more costly glycerol. Nothing else. Chesterfield has the newest and most modern research laboratories and factories staffed by experts. Outside independent consultants include many eminent scientists from leading universities.
Chesterfield has for your smoking pleasure and protection every advantage known to modern science.
Darlings, this has been Brotherhood Week, a week set aside by the President through the good offices of the National Conference of Christians and Jews, that we remind ourselves of our duties and obligations toward our fellow man, that we become aware of the essential brotherhood of all men. In times like these, we are in need of remembrance. We are too in need of prayer for guidance. Let us recall tonight the beautiful words of Stephen Vincent Benet, whose mighty prayer so sincerely reaches all our hearts. God of the free, we pledge our hearts and lives to the cause of all free mankind. Grant us victory over the tyrants who would enslave all free men and nations. Grant us faith and understanding to cherish all those who fight for freedom as if they were our brothers. Grant us brotherhood in hope and union for the days to come, which shall and must unite all the children of earth. The spirit of man has awakened, and the soul of men has gone forth. Grant us the wisdom and the vision to comprehend the greatness of man's spirit that suffers and endures so hugely for a goal beyond his own brief span. Grant us honor for the dead who died in the faith. Honor for our living who worked and strive for the faith, redemption, and security for all captive lands and peoples. Grant us patience with the deluded and pity for the betrayed. And grant us the skill and the valor that shall cleanse the world of oppression and the old base doctrine that the strong must eat the weak because they are strong. Yet, most of all, grant us brotherhood, not only for this day, but for all our years. A brotherhood not of words, but of acts and deeds. We are all of us children of earth. Grant us that simple knowledge. If our brothers are oppressed, then we are oppressed. If they hunger, we hunger. If their freedom is taken away, our freedom is not secure. Grant us a common faith that man shall know bread and peace, that he shall know justice and righteousness, freedom and security, and equal chance to do his best, not only in our lands, but throughout the world. And in that faith, let us march toward the clean world our hands can make. Amen. Well, that's our show for this week, darlings. Be with us next Sunday when our guests will be Fred Allen, Connie Boswell, Clark Dennis, Rex Harrison, Portland Hoffer, Lily Palmer, Henny Youngman, and others, and of course, our very own Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, for the near or far away. Victor?
May you find that long awaited golden day today, Molly.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10, it.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again, okay?
May you walk with sunlight shining and a bluebird in every tree. May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see.
Phil?
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been. Meredith?
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Robert?
May you long recall each rainbow. May you soon forget the rain. May the warmth and the memories be the ones that will remain.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrow. Never mind what might have been.
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you
Godspeed to our armed forces everywhere. Good night, darlings.
This portion of the Big Show has been brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Get the cigarette that's much milder with the added protection of no unpleasant aftertaste. The first half hour of The Big Show is presented by the makers of Reynolds Aluminum, the Reynolds Metals Company, who also bring you the Kate Smith Evening Hour on the NBC television network. The Big Show is produced and directed by Dee Engelbach and written by Goodman Ace, Selma Diamond, George Foster, Mort Green, and Frank Wilson. The chorus is directed by Ray Charles. Special musical arrangements by Sidney Fine. This is Ed Hurley-Hee saying good night. Enjoy American music with Phil Harris and Alice Faye next on NBC.